Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is on the air. Never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is a call to arms for those American patriots who, in the tradition of our founding fathers, will stand up now to defend the Constitution and the liberties that it guarantees to each citizen, to each of us. That is our mission, to explain in a clear and concise manner the direct effect of each issue on the individual, on you personally, not some anonymous being in a distant place, and to define in no uncertain terms the consequences of inaction. Let the battle begin.
This is Dr. Dan. America is on a rapidly accelerating downward spiral toward economic and societal destruction. That fact is undeniable. We are the actors and actresses in a stage play entitled Our American Tragedy, and the final chapter, or the final act, is yet to be written. As participants, some have already chosen a role, and others have yet to opt in or opt out. Nevertheless, eventually, everyone has to play a part, because we are all on the same runaway train. As the train travels relentlessly along the rails, observers standing along the tracks obviously would certainly have numerous comments, explanations, and questions to consider. Why is this happening? Will it eventually crash? Will that affect our lives? Can the train be stopped in time? And most importantly, what should I personally be doing? The truth, of course, can be found in the study of world history, ancient and modern, and in American history. We are in the midst of a familiar pattern of a society's birth, growth, maturation, corruption, failure, and destruction. It is a cycle of history that has been repeated continuously since the beginning of recorded time, and an inevitable sequence of events that humanity never seems to remember and certainly never seems to learn from. In this scenario, many people, often a majority, choose to drop out, tune out, and disregard what is happening under their noses. They are truly ignorant of the potential consequences. Clearly, they are just along for the ride. Some people become obsessed with the chain of incidents that led to the current crisis. Since there are always multiple opinions about what really happened and who's at fault, these groups become adversarial and get into interminable and meaningless arguments that can never be resolved. Then there are groups of well-meaning individuals that form to propose solutions. Most of these efforts serve mainly to satisfy the egos of the group members, and usually the schemes they propose are in fact no better than trying to cover gaping wounds with band-aids. There are, however, always a few innovators who devise clever solutions that could actually work. Their success, of course, depends on how fast the train is traveling, how close it is to the end of the line, and what unexpected external events beyond their control might occur to alter the outcome. This group of innovators are individually and collectively the best option to regain control of the train and prevent catastrophe. And herein also lies their obstacle. America has a large population and landmass. There are many intelligent people in America who, after understanding and evaluating the problem, formulate effective solutions. That means that multiple action plans are developed at the same time in different locations that are in whole or in part the same. Reaching a unified strategy requires a willingness to compromise, followed by delicate negotiations under stressful or even precarious conditions. Many, if not most of us, have the desire and willingness to become part of the solution. To do so, we must have the data necessary to choose whose tent to enter and what tribe to join. My job now is to make available to you the information you need to make that decision. After our commercial break, we will return with David Zuniga, author of numerous books, among them The Great Reset, and founder of Tactical Cities.
Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is on the air. Never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is a call to arms for those American patriots who, in the tradition of our founding fathers, will stand up now to defend the Constitution and the liberties that it guarantees to each citizen, to each of us. That is our mission, to explain in a clear and concise manner the direct effect of each issue on the individual, on you personally, not some anonymous being in a distant place, and to define in no uncertain terms the consequences of inaction. Let the battle begin.
We are talking today with David Zuniga, the founder of Tactical Civics, a battle plan for reinstituting the founder's original vision of self-governance. And again, I'm inviting you to visit the website, tacticalcivics.com. Go to the website, and we'll continue our discussion with David Zuniga about the program of Tactical Civics. David, we have discussed what part of the plan of action, and that is, who is the boss? Let's just go over that briefly again, because I think it's important people understand who the boss is here.
Yes, it's critical. You're right. This is the one that really wakes people up when they learn it. Collectively, listener, this is only collectively. You are not the sovereign, you know, like the sovereign citizen movement and all that. No, none of that. That's essentially, that's anti-government, whatever. But collectively, we the people are the sovereign, the highest level of government. So we're part of the government. So when people say, well, I'm against the government because, no, you're in the highest office in government, you and I and all of us. So we have to start acting like it. So what did we do in that most unique law in the history of mankind? We create, look at the first three words, we the people. Okay. It says, do ordain and establish this constitution. So we created these three federal servant branches, and then we define them in Article 1, in Article 2, in Article 3. We define the three branches, and then we severely limit them. So if you go to Article 1, Section 8, you see the 17 things that we give them. We say, okay, here are your chores, these 17 things. Everything else we say in Amendments 9 and 10, we say everything else we retain for ourselves. So anything else that we didn't put in here specifically isn't yours. You can't do it. But do you know, listener, do you know that almost 75% of all federal budget line items today are nowhere authorized by us in the Constitution? Isn't that insane? So I was saying James Madison's checks bounce. Well, checks and balances don't work when you have fraud, conspiracy, multi-trillion dollar embezzlement. Embezzlement since 1862, you know, in some cases could be classified as treason, but at least in hundreds of cases, it's felonies and capital crimes. That's what DC does daily. That's what they do. All right. Since we the people have never won, here we have this highest law, right? We call it in Article 6, Section 2, we call it the supreme law of the land. All right. But we've never once even attempted to enforce it. Can you believe that? Highest law we have, but we don't enforce it. Well, how does that work? How can you have a law that's never enforced? It's not a law, is it? Nobody will treat it like a law. So our supreme law of the land, we have this ridiculous clown show in American law going on where just look at the daily news. I mean, but read the Constitution. We the people are the only human agent above that law. See, so we're the real problem. If you want to say, what caused all of this? How do we fix it? Okay, you see it now. This is what Dr. Dan and I are going to talk about today. That's what Holy Spirit just dropped into my consciousness over 15 years ago when I prayed about it. It totally changed my life to see, wow, so this is us. This is all about us. We're the problem.
No question that this view of the Constitution is really what the founders had in mind. Because you're right, they did say, we the people in big letters with that funny script, but nevertheless, we the people in big letters. And they really expected us to be a moral population that was involved in the government. That's why they believed in self-governance, as you know, and that self-governance occurred down at the local levels. I mean, they envisioned the elected congressman would go to Washington, D.C. for 2-3 months a year, because that's the only business they'd have to conduct, and then come home and have to live among their peers by the laws that they had just passed.
Yes, exactly.
And you know right now that to me, one of the biggest articles of fraud and graft currently is that those those people up there in Washington, D.C., they pass laws and then they do whatever they want to make money for themselves. This is a self-enrichment scheme of enormous proportions. You might call it the government is really a Ponzi scheme when you come right down to it. These people go there poor, they come back filthy rich. Exactly. And all they're interested in doing is taking more money from us. So isn't that really kind of what you're talking about up there?
Yeah. And that's the spirit. That's the spirit of that city state. And so it is a city state. It's insular from the rest of America because it's like a foreign country that does its own thing. And you can feel it when you're there. If you stay more than one night in D.C. and you just hang out at some of the restaurants and you go to some of the building and you just listen. Just listen to what people are saying, what the denizens of D.C. are saying. They're like a different species. Anyway, so sin is our fundamental problem. We're supposed to oversee it. Like you were just saying, Dan, the founder, the framers of the Constitution expected us like, what's her name? The mayor's wife of Philly asked Ben Franklin, Dr. Franklin, what kind of government, when he was walking out at the end of the convention, what kind of a government have you given us, a monarchy or a republic? And he said, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. And so exactly like you said, you know, it all depends on us. So it's really funny. You know, God is going to judge us and keep judging us just like this. And that's what I see this as. This is all of these bad people out there. Look, this is God's judgment on us because we're not doing our, you know, we're not repenting. So he's making us, like Paul says in Romans 1, deeply stupid. So if there was a letter, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the evangelist, in a letter from Hitler's prison before Hitler hanged him, wrote that stupid people are much more dangerous to civilization than evil people are. And then over 50 years later, this guy named Carlo Cipolla, he wrote this little book called The Basic Laws of Human Stupidity, and he said exactly the same thing that Bonhoeffer said. He said, you know, there's far more stupid people than anybody believes. And number two, they're far more dangerous to civilization than even evil people are. Stupid people are a real problem. So when you look at what government schools have done to the children, now adults, of America, now you know where this comes from. When the government controls education, like it does in all Marxist systems, it's a real problem. So say what you will about billionaires and their wicked plans, the real problem is we the people, because we're not restoring our authority and limits on our public servants.